Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
November 29, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Hey, this is the show you were looking for because, how do I know this? You're hearing me stutter over my own intro or stumble. See, I meant to say stumble and I said stutter, and that's the kind of night it might be. It's Tears Day Tuesday. Happy, third day on the calendar, on the Pope's work schedule and all that good stuff. Anyway, it is what it is. November's almost gone. And, depending on where you are, there could be a lot of things almost gone because tornadoes and heavy storms in one section of the country. And, I don't know. I'm going to wait getting swiped by the side of it, I guess, when it comes this way. But somebody who might be sitting partially in the path of it is with me at the Ozarks Church of Nature. Nature's going to... give you a little show later, I think, Christy. Christy Aphrodite. Go over to ChristyAphrodite.com. You could be listening to the show live right now over there because she's got a mirror of my chat room over on the Listen Live page. But a lot of good information over there and everything else. And also MyTrueEssence.net. And, there's interesting products and tons of information over there as well about natural solutions. Anyway, you slow things down every once in a while and think about them and they reveal themselves to you. Are we going to go esoteric tonight? Probably not, but I never know what the hell's going to happen. We do have phone lines open though. Okay, 319-527-5016. And I just woke up. I'm going to tell you that right now. I had to take a nap to try and shake a nasty headache. And it is not gone, but it might be gone by the time we're done here. I get those all the time because of my eyes anyways. There is really nothing to be done. Even the most recent, actually solid eye doctor that I saw looked at myself and Mrs. O and said, you realize there's no way I'm ever going to get rid of all of his headaches, but we can cut it down some. Yeah. That's the goal. Let's make it so I'm not gripping the sides of my head wanting to cry every single day. That's about the best we could do. So anyway, today's one of those days and, I'm already rambling. Christy, now it's your turn to ramble. How you doing?
Well, it sounds like my kind of show already. And as for, the storm, if anything we're told about weather science or meteorology is true, then the conditions were definitely ripe for tornado activity, which we did get warnings for. But, we hit almost 80 degrees today, and it's supposed to be 28 tonight. But after I fed everyone right before the show and came back up the hill within less than a minute, all the winds and everything just started coming. But I checked the radar and we're not in the path, at least right now, thankfully. But I don't know. I don't mind a good storm. I just kind of wish we had some of these in the summer when we're supposed to have them here, you know?
Yeah. Well, weather's in.
Are you safe and protected?
Well, I'm in a much more solid structure than I have been in past years. But, when it comes to tornadoes, quite frankly, you just have to take the attitude of, look, nature's going to do what it's going to do. And, right. You're just along for the ride. I mean, cause literally I've seen tornadoes and not touch things that you figure you could knock over with a broomstick. And meanwhile tear down. Or tear apart pieces of or entire structures.
Oh, right. When we had the Branson tornado in 2012, Branson is like a super touristy town and you'll have like the Wax Museum or Ripley, all the same things you get in Gatlinburg and every other tourist city, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's like 50-foot chickens, there's Godzillas, there's like all these big creatures way up high in the sky like that. None of them got touched, mm-hmm. but like little square, independently owned box buildings, one story, were completely demolished, which was, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, wild skull. It's like what happens in Florida, you know, the 80-foot alligator doesn't get knocked over, but,
right.
You know, but the little strip mall gets, you know, like a slice taken out of it. It's really weird. And you never know. You really never know. So, and by the way, checking the radar and all that other stuff, I swear to God, these people, I mean, sometimes it's really funny. Of course, I was looking at the volcanic activity in Hawaii, which I'm going to get to and discuss with somebody in Hawaii later on this week. Because I'm going to talk about a few natural occurrences this week, okay, as they emerge. You know, as all the science they got and all these other wonderful things, these people have no idea exactly when something's going to erupt. And what's hilarious is, I mean, Hawaii is basically a volcano. I mean, that's what, it's a system of little volcanoes is what people are living on.
Right.
Which explains a lot of the native traditions and their behaviors and attitudes toward the land, which, you know, makes perfect sense if you're living on a volcano. You know, but anyways, it's interesting though that, you know, no matter what, that radar activity and what they predict the path of the storm will be can shift, and sometimes, you know, it's better or worse and all that good stuff. Anyways, it's been weird weather-wise in the Southeast anyway, because it got exceptionally
and completely
cold.
Unpredictable. Yeah. Like, even what they say isn't true. For example, when I saw my temperature gauge hit 80 today, I was like, what? Because I fully intended on first thing in the morning going and turning on the heater in my greenhouse, mm-hmm. because it was supposed to be like a high of 38.
Right.
Or so, you know, so then it's like 80 degrees and I'm working outside, walking barefoot, doing everything, and like a beautiful day, but then it literally switched in less than a minute, super crazy strong winds, and when we checked the weather in advance, right, it was supposed to be super cold today, but now, of course, all that's changed, so I don't even know why I look at the forecast anymore, or even the radars, because they really don't mean anything, at least here in the Ozarks.
Well, look, it's a couple additional pieces of guessing that, you know, might bring you to a conclusion where you have an idea of something that could be going on. You know, it almost sounds like those terrorist alerts they tried on us about 20 years ago. Oops, did I say that? Yeah, where they were going, you know, look, there might be something happening somewhere. You know, and it's almost as good as that.
I agree. And even with the tornado sirens, because when I lived in Branson, and people used to get so mad at me.
Well, I don't blame people, though. I don't.
Well, first of all, nature happens, right? So if a tornado is going to happen, there's nothing you could do about it. So why live in fear?
Mm-hmm.
But they were turning that signal on, that siren on, like 50 times a day, like every time the wind blew. So obviously, like we've all heard of the boy who cried wolf. You know, it loses its meaning.
Right.
And so, of course, when you hear the siren, I mean, for me, I'm like, I'm never going to believe proven liars again, right? And I felt they were just doing it just to keep us in a state of trauma or wondering or, you know. But, yeah, no tornado other than that one ever even came close, and then when you're hearing sirens all damn day, it's just like, what's really going on here?
See, but at the same time, masses of people will complain that there is not enough warning, right? That
you
know,
you can't if it really is nature.
Well, right, but that's the thing is that was the point I was going to get to. But I mean, the reality is that people will complain. You didn't warn us. You know, we should have had more. You should have told us more. And so it doesn't matter. It's going to go the way it's going to go. They do their best. I do believe that some people legitimately are in it to try and predict and try and, you know, minimize damage and stuff like that.
And they're reading like the science and looking at the patterns and for the most part making, you know, predictions based on those realities, right? But yeah, nature just doesn't listen to those rules.
Right. And like hurricanes and flooding and all this stuff kind of swirls in the same bucket because, you know, again, I remember many a buildup for a lot of different storms and stuff living on the Jersey Shore, where we didn't get too many tornadoes. Although one time, again, pure witness to, if you ever saw the town of Ocean Grove in New Jersey, the houses are literally close enough to each other, Christy. You wouldn't believe me until you saw this, okay? The houses are close enough that I swear to you, you could lean out your window and hand something to your neighbor in their window, right? And I mean on all sides, like everything except the street side of your house.
Right.
So
wow.
All three sides of your house, if your windows were lined up, which in most cases they weren't because they are built right on top of each other. And you could do that. Okay, so you're thinking to yourself, if a tornado goes into a place like that, it's got to sweep out, you know, bunches of houses got to be destroyed, right? A freak tornado occurred, like, on a strange day where there wasn't a hurricane or anything like that going on, and it came through just during what should have been a routine rainstorm, and this is right on the East Coast, right on the coast of the Atlantic, you know, right? It's... There's an ocean right. avenue because it runs along the ocean. Okay. Okay. So, I mean.
Same in every city, by the way.
Wait, no. I know every city has it, but that's why I'm saying it. Because if right. you know there's an ocean avenue, then that means, guess what? The town is literally on the ocean.
Yeah, it's not in the desert, guys.
Right. So the thing is, though, like, say, a half a block in from the ocean, right? A tornado hit a house, which. Was okay. The house that I was in was maybe a third of the way in, right, from the ocean. And this house, which was about halfway in, means that the corner of that house almost touches the corner of my house, right? It tore the roof off of that house completely.
Wow.
Tore it off and set it down, like in the front yard and partially in the street in front of it.
Just gently set it down, right? Well, 'cause it'll look better over here.
Well, gently for a freaking roof dropping, I'll tell you, but,
nice.
You know, but not entirely gently, right? I mean, it's not like somebody eased it down with jacks, but I mean, it kind of went down sort of gentle, yeah, in the front yard. And,
gentle for a ferocious tornado.
And the only thing that was noticeable in my home, which again, the corner of that roof was hanging over the corner of my roof, right?
Wow.
It didn't take a shingle off of the roof of the house I was in. It didn't,
wow.
Like the only thing was I heard this weird noise, okay, which was the roof being lifted off of the top of the house, like almost as if it was one big chunk, like it was, you know, those Lincoln Logs when they had the solid plastic roof pieces sometimes.
I loved Lincoln Logs.
Okay, so imagine somebody just yanked that off of the top of one of the Lincoln Log houses and then dropped it in front of the Lincoln Log house.
Right.
Except, you know, life-size scale.
Okay,
so that's kind of what I heard and wasn't, like, I was totally like, what in the hell? I go outside and I see the roof of that house out there. And didn't know it was a tornado. There was no warning in Jersey for it. We're not accustomed. We don't have tornado warnings. If there's a siren in your town in Jersey, it's because you're near a nuclear reactor. Okay? And that's why you have one of those town sirens. I mean, everybody's got firehouses, but when you got one of those dedicated, like, municipal sirens that they test every once in a while.
Right.
Which, you know, I have worked near things like that. You can't even talk to each other from 2 feet away because it's so obnoxiously loud. Those are the only warning sirens we have. Now, down south here, you got tornado sirens in a lot of places. Where I live right now has a tornado siren. But not every place has them because you don't need them. Anyway,
right.
In Ocean Grove, no need for it. It lifted that roof off and virtually took nothing else apart. Like, I think it picked up and tossed, we're talking about 1989, I think. So, you know those newspaper machines, the old metal newspaper? I think some places they still have them still, where their newspapers exist. But the metal newspaper machines where you're supposed to, you know, put in your quarter and just take one newspaper out of the box. Well, yeah, like a couple of those were thrown, like, you know, like down Main Street and stuff like that. Like, you know, well, that just traveled 12 blocks, even though it was chained to a store. You know, but that was it. So it was like this weird thing where it just took the roof off of that one house. Right? And you would have thought it would have, like, banged into the other houses. But like I said, not a scratch to the place that I was in, and we were catty-cornered from it. And even the houses surrounding this thing on all three side walls of that house, untouched, not a broken window even.
Wow.
You know, but I mean, there were broken windows in that house because it was, you know, sort of disturbed the structure a little bit. Yeah.
Wow.
But
something.
But that's my point of how, like, random and surgical a tornado can be.
Right.
And of course, we've
even
all...
Even, like, in the Branson one where I said, like, little buildings were taken out, but the big tall ones were, you know, Big Rooster was untouched. And,
right.
One of the stores that was taken out was a health food store. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The buildings gone and demolished, but the shelves were still standing. Some of them with the herbs and supplements. I got pictures of this, like, literally just as if the store was still open, surrounded by walls and a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing.
No, I've seen,
and, you know, I used to, it would just amaze me when I'd see these big oak trees completely uprooted and thrown upside down, mm-hmm. but then the little violet is still standing, you know?
Yeah, it's and I think due to that, you know what I mean, it almost seems to defy the laws of physics. I mean, again, in the South, yes, of course, it's very cliche and all, but I've seen trailers torn apart. And, you know, I've seen a trailer with, like, basically it's gone, the majority of the trailer. And yet
right.
there's still a table sitting there with plates and glasses on it.
Isn't that, I know people personally... Yeah. That have been in homes, and specifically trailer homes, that were completely destroyed, and they've all lived to tell about it,
mm-hmm.
but they're like, yeah, the house was gone, but our little froggy and plant and miniature tea set outside for the frogs are still standing, and like, wow,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Rip a tree out of the ground, but leave a potted plant that's just sitting there. I mean, just really, really odd things. So, but again, the point is that nature does what it does. I mean, and all these different levels, not just with wind and tornadoes, but even in the case of earthquakes, there have been, you know, supposedly earthquake-proof buildings that have wound up collapsing, whereas historical structures have still stood, you know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it's great to observe these things because it shows you again that as much as we think we understand, we don't necessarily know the full story or the full power and, desires even of, some people would say Mother Nature. Other people
right.
would, you know, just, call it, you know, the life force that is or whatever. I contend that the planet is a living thing in and of itself.
Right.
But either way, I don't believe
so, Chuck,
that we have the ability.
I love that we're talking about this because all it does when I do get to experience the ferociousness or ferocity or whatever of nature, it just cements my belief even stronger that Mother Nature is smarter than man,
mm-hmm.
hence why I live my life the way I do.
Right.
So, yeah, I do trust that if something like that were to happen, that, you know, it's, I'd probably live to tell about it and everything's going to be all good. It's just another challenge to throw in the bucket, I guess, of life experience.
Right.
So.
And I completely, now I'm just going to be sexist for a moment here. This is why
I love sexism, by the way, Chuck.
Good. You're about to get
yeah,
some.
Yeah, so take out the trash, man.
I'm gonna do that right now. Here's the deal. I really have no objection to referring to nature as a woman and referring to the planet as a woman because here's the thing. I can sit there and try and study, and I can respect the ferocity that could emerge and all of that. But one thing I will never do is pretend to fully understand her. And that is the way that I approach.
So you know women.
All women is first of all, recognize that they are dangerous. They are absolutely life giving, but they are also dangerous. You know,
yeah, kind of like a cat too, right?
Oh yeah, oh yes, very much so. See, there you go. Just one of the you know, look, children. The apple
Mother
doesn't.
Mother nature has to be a female cat for sure.
Yeah, and you know the apple doesn't fall from the tree. Well, the creatures that you know Mother Nature has spawned make sense. A lot of them do, and that's why even when you and I were talking about how reptiles make sense, of course they do. They all take after their mother. So, you know, I'm just saying it's very simple. I will not pretend to fully understand. I will at all times maintain situational awareness as best I can because, women are also unpredictable. So, and these characteristics.
But I still want you to take the trash out and fix my car, sexist.
Yes. Well, you know, as much as I can fix the car, no problem. So.
And speaking of sexism, I'm proud of my sexism. So I just want to share a newsflash. It wasn't a newsflash. It was a plea to men out there. Mm. Stop eating soy, please. And thank you. Cause I'm a sexist. Ooh. And I like men that do men stuff, and I'm a woman who can't do everything, right? So I appreciate the different sexes, and I'll make you a sandwich barefoot anytime you like.
There you go. But, you know, if a giant bear shows up, you need to go outside first.
Oh, well, okay. I will do that because I'm good with bears and gators and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if it's anything else, I mean, come on. I'm going to expect you to step up, or I'm probably going to have to take you out first.
I got you. See, and there it is. And there
it
is.
Don't make me be the protector because then everybody dies.
Well, but see, and that's the beauty of it is, and I appreciated the, as much as, again, you know, you're scorned for this kind of thing. I do think that there are not just traditional roles. It's not about tradition. It's about what nature presents us with. And in general, you know, again, it's like the old adage with, yes, there are plenty of women that I've seen who would make much better firemen than me. But the majority of them are not the ones that I want to send into a burning building. Now, I've seen some that I would send in before I'd send in three guys I know, no problem. Okay. Because they are, but because everybody's an individual, but on balance, you know, and also when I'm getting bad news, I would prefer it from a female voice is more, pleasant. Okay. I'm just saying there are certain roles that make more sense one way or another. And I think one night we might have to do a sexism show. I think that would be a good idea, actually.
I love it. Hey, I'm straight up sexist.
There you go.
Quote me on that.
Now it's interesting because tonight you wanted to talk and you gave me a little heads up and I thought it was interesting. Now I don't have a load of experience with going to jail, since I became an adult, allegedly. You know, cause I was more of a juvenile delinquent, but I gotta say, you know, the going to jail and talking about, you know, things that land people in jail and this kind of thing. Frankly, there's a reason why there's more jails for men than there are for women. We tend to be the more, well, overtly violent among our species here. And we tend to be the ones who, you know, do the brash direct assaults on others and things like that. This is typically the man's role also. Okay. It's not that there are no female rapists, but there are way less of them than there are male rapists. You know, I'm just saying. All right. And And again, you know, if I was going with the roles presented to me as a child, I mean, my mother was one of the toughest human beings I ever saw. You know, and she stood all of 5'5" and weighed 95 pounds. But I
gotta love those little Italian grannies. Well, they're the best.
Well, the hysterical thing is she's not even the Italian part of me. She's the Irish side. Irish girl.
Hey, the same Greek, Irish, whatever, Italian. You know, those little grandmas with the old ways that are fiery and just, I love it.
Right. Well, my mother was more like the crazy white lady, that, you know, was real dangerous. And I saw her take down men much larger than myself, in fist fights and stuff. I mean, she was just, you know, brutal. Had early examples of, yeah, women are not these, you know, weak little creatures all the time.
No, definitely not all the time. But that being said, I do make it a point to make friends with men that could kick my ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's always a smart strategy. Again, you wanted to talk about jail, and there you go. There's, what, strategy 101, right? Even the worst TV shows will show you that. Somehow make sure that you have a friendly situation with, you know, either you make them respect you or you, make yourself useful to them. Of course, that goes in a lot of terrible directions in some TV shows and stuff, but, you know, one way or another, it is a matter of survival. But anyway, jail is something that, again, I only really experienced as a juvenile. Experienced it, way more often than, well, the average juvenile. But, it's one of those things that is a unique experience. Now, I will say this. I also, and as strange as this will probably sound to some people, I gotta say that the only men that I've ever really had true, like, on the ground, like, you know, typical, a lot of people would think of this as toxic masculinity, what I'm about to say, but I don't really care. I don't actually have respect for too many men who haven't at least spent a night or two in jail. If you've never bucked authority enough to wind up in cuffs and in a cell, I mean, even if it's just a night, if you've never done that.
Thing though, Chuck, men used to be able to take it outside and pull each other's faces off and not go to jail, right?
Right.
So, in our generation, simply not going to jail doesn't mean that you're not a good man or that you won't stand up, right? But I totally hear what you're saying.
But what happens
I'm looking at the preppy in my head right now of all the men in California who are, you know, trying to be all polite and not defending their woman or their children or, like, when my children were raped, right? Up until that, oh, yeah, if anybody touches her, you know, they're dead. Mm-hmm. And then when they get touched, you know, nobody's dead, right? Except for our soul.
Well, the thing is, while we were growing up, okay, is when I feel as though a lot of that changed, right? My father, right, who, you know, he was dead by the time I was four. But I'll tell you something, an incident occurred with me where somebody laid a finger on me in a way. And, you know, that guy never walked the same again. I'll tell you that.
It's supposed to be that way. Sorry, bring back toxic masculinity.
Yeah. You know, but this is the thing, all right? And that story, I think, will wind up included in my book, which I'm still working on. I just sent out chapter 7, this morning after working all night on all kinds of audio files and stuff, which is partially why I've got a nap during the day. You know, if you're up all night, okay, doing other things, sometimes you gotta take a little nap during the day cause you get a headache.
I think they wrote a song about that, right, Chuck?
Right. Yeah, they did.
Up all night, sleep all day.
Yeah, they did. But anyway, there was a time, even as little boys, right, in the 70s and stuff, and I didn't have too many, friends and kids that I played with, but when I did, little boys used to beat each other with sticks and rocks, you know, as a rite of passage. These are your friends, by the way. This isn't even...
Oh, totally. I can't even believe the violence that like my brother and his, literally I said tear each other's face off because mm-hmm. that was actually real, not just a few bloody crazy punches, but right. literally tearing the, oh my God. And then after that they laugh and hug and shake hands and then they go back to being best friends.
Yeah, I mean, many a friend of mine in earlier years, you know, we might have even had shared scars, you know, of times where just things went that way. And, but nobody was calling the cops, okay? It was just really right. I hate to use this because usually this is only used when guys sexually assault women and act like complete asses, where they go, well, boys are being boys. And I can't go for it when it comes to that kind of thing. But when the age in which we used to beat each other up and stuff like that, and that was kind of like boys are just being boys,
right.
You know, I really feel like that was more healthy than this nonsense that we have now with not only a litigious society, but, you know, I mean,
right.
7 and 8 year old kids getting arrested for assault after fighting each other on a playground. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Crap like
or
this. Yeah.
Worse, like being bullied forever. Then they finally fight back and then they're in trouble and the bully is still being a bully. And
right.
Yeah.
And
it's ridiculous. But yeah, trying to turn men into, you know, effeminate women, you know, I mean, I obviously there hopefully is first, before violence, a place for communication and discussion and things like that. But when it comes to protecting things that most men value, right? Their
right.
family, their home, right? Their
right.
their toys. I mean, I don't understand a man that doesn't feel that he has a duty to protect those things. Cause, and I may be wrong, this is just my opinion and that's okay. If you disagree, but I kinda, when it comes to male-female roles, it's not so much a physical sense, but more of an energetic sense, whereas the female is like the spiritual protector, okay? The communicator and the male or masculine energy is the earthly protector. So by instinct, most of us who haven't been medicated to oblivion and,
right.
you know, programmed and such, it's our natural instincts to either caretake or protect or You can't take it away. Even,
right.
okay, here, myself, for example, Chuck, and I'm glad that you brought up jail and prison with the topic being life in prison. So I've just kind of been going with it and it's all relevant. And I think the true meaning is going to come out here, real soon. But, okay, wow, so many places to go with this right now.
Well,
so I just want to say, like, first of all, about the topic, life in prison is not about jail, but it's wonderful that our minds went there, because in my opinion, I don't agree with this person's name I'm going to mention, or, and I, you know, but one thing he did say that is true is that we're living on a prison planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's, of course, Alex Jones' thing, right? And so the prison that I want to talk about, and it encompasses basically everything we've discussed here, right? From
right.
spending a night in the slammer or three nights or whatever, to views and ideas that we have, like even talking about masculine, feminine, right? And so my ideas when it comes to that are less physical than they are from a spiritual perspective. And what we have to be willing to challenge what we think, what we see, what we perceive, what we value, and most importantly, find out what's important to us. Because if we don't know what we value or what's important to us or what our purpose is, we are living a life in prison, right? A prison of our own mind, mm-hmm. of our own beliefs, of our program, whatever you want to call it, blaming programmers and all of this stuff is, I'm kind of a little bit past that in my evolution, which I appreciate. And what I wanted to share with you about a recent getting true with myself, as releasing myself from my prison, is that the whole masculine feminine thing brought up how I have had to try to play both roles,
right?
Whether when I was a single mother or when I'm here. And so I convinced myself that I don't need that. I don't want that. It's in the way. And so I have been really good at pretending and doing without. And so I'm sharing that with you now because that is one of the prisons that I've kept myself in out of comfort, protection, fear of the unknown, fear of reliving past traumas or things like that. And so the reason I chose life in prison as the topic is not because of that recent revelation. It's been coming to me for a few months mm-hmm. of how we, in fact, Chuck, sorry, I love you, but I'm going to call you out right here. Mm-hmm. Here's one of your prisons. You said earlier in the show about your eyes and your headaches.
Right.
There is nothing to be done. There is no way I will get rid of these headaches. And so I'm pointing that out because, one, it happened live. Two, because I love you. And three, because that's the topic, life in prison. So, like, one thing I've said for the last several years is find the place you want to die and the people you want to die with and just design your prison the way you like it, and which is what I'm doing here and what I'd like to inspire other people to do. Not inspire you to do what I'm doing, but to decorate your prison cell in a manner that you love or that inspires you to inspire other people or inspires yourself to be better. And so I learned, of course, the hard way and by trial and error, and mostly because I like to prove everything wrong that I hear.
Right.
And I struggled with the whole our belief thing. Does it really influence our surroundings? And for many years, I'm like, yeah, it's all BS. And to an extent, a lot of it is, because what we're allowed to hear in the mainstream is a little bit BS. So I want to talk beyond that and
okay.
try to encourage you, Chuck, or anyone listening, let's assess our prisons in an honest manner. What is it? What do we believe? Do you really believe there's no chance at healing? Because if you really, 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 really believe that, then that's going to be true, because you're going to get to a point in time where you quit searching or looking or learning and growing. And I forget what did Socrates say, that you there's three stages of life or something. You're either growing or what's the middle one? I don't know, something that has to do with safety and or decaying. And then Plato disagreed, and I agree with him, if Plato was even real. But he said, no, you're either growing or you're dying, or decaying.
Right.
And so the last few years, especially in my silence and isolation here offline and things like that, I wanted to get back to that. And
well, let me do something here. Let me do something here. Let me strip away, because I lay it out that, look, there's nothing I can do about it. When I say that, it doesn't exactly mean that, okay?
Good. That's what I want to hear. But I also don't want you to defend yourself because I think it's a really good topic to talk about in general.
Yeah,
right?
No, I don't want to defend it. What I want to do is just give you the... Now, that was the shortcut that I gave you when it's like, look, there's not much I can do with it. And here's the reality of it. There's always something that can be done to improve the circumstance. Now, my options are a little bit different from others, okay, because my circumstances are a physical reality, all right, that, I mean, let's be honest.
For now, so were mine, though, right?
Right, but the thing is, if you're born with no arm, okay, you're not going to grow a brand new arm at the age of 30, 40, 50. All right, it just doesn't occur. There are limitations, but it doesn't mean that you can't adapt and figure out a way to use one of your legs as one of your arms, right? I mean, we've seen...
Okay, so I just want to say this. There is an element out there called ficoidin that does, that scientific proof and study after study that you can regrow a limb, a tendon. If you have one piece of your thyroid and it's been cut out, even one, you can regrow it all. Mm. And if you look to nature, you cut off a tail of a worm or a lizard or whatever, and it grows back. So we don't really know that. I think that's one of our prisons, Chuck.
Well, as yet, there has been no discovery.
Right. So you haven't seen it in your lifetime, and I haven't either, right?
And,
but that doesn't mean it's not possible, because I see it in nature all the time.
But
here's the thing about our cells. They don't – I mean, they're constantly duplicating, right?
Right.
So are they duplicating healthier ones or – diseased ones.
Well, but
and
here's
that I believe we have control over.
Okay, so here's the big question I have for you, all right? Because again, if you are in a certain circumstance and you're going to be able to take this and run with it as metaphor and as reality, and you're going to be able to lay out parallels in another way. This is an interesting example. And I'm going to just use myself here because it's the thing I know best. Okay.
Because you're here.
Because I'm here and I'm living it and I have lived it. So,
right.
So let's go through it this way. Here's the problem. When I was a kid, they often told me that, look, you got to be absolutely amazed with science. Now, first of all, there's a big problem there, but let's not unpack that. Science is going to advance. By the time you get to be a little bit older, they're going to come up with all kinds of things. And what's going to happen is we're going to be able to give you the kind of vision that other people have. We're going to be able to alleviate the uncomfortable and painful symptoms and this and that. Or you're going to go blind, and many of the professionals, the experts, some of them the best in the world who studied me and tried to work with me for free, even because I was a unique example of certain things. And I'll tell you that one of those big things is what they call macular degeneration, where a lot of people, they develop light sensitivity and their vision
again,
starts.
Ficoidin.
What's that?
Again, ficoidin.
Okay. But here's the thing. Nobody has been able to put together a significant grouping of people where they have repaired macular degeneration. They've slowed it down. They've come up with, and this is both the natural healers and the...
That's actually not true, Chuck. You haven't read the 1,500 published reports about ficoidin.
Yeah.
That I have many of them published on my site.
Okay, but I guarantee you I've read more than that about scientific studies and attempts, which have gone everywhere from nanotech to various chemical elements, and they have come up with one particular pharmaceutical product which does apparently reverse this. And I brought it up on the show a couple of years ago when the papers were first published, and, you know, for $800,000, you can get a chemical treatment which apparently produces these certain effects, right, which can cause regrowth. And I've also looked at the stem cell work on this. I've looked at the biomechanical stuff where, you know, they and I even had stuff tested on me where they came up with a liquid lens, okay, which is part of a process that they basically you put eye drops in your eye, and this thing, this is a smart technology that creates a contact lens, customizable, that deals with parts of these problems to protect the eye while a growth process goes on, okay? And they put this crap in my eyes to test. I was a test subject, all right? This is still not on the consumer market wide, but it is being worked on. So I'm familiar with a lot of this stuff, okay? The particular element that you're talking about, I don't recall having read that study, but hundreds.
There's multiple, which I'll post, but this is the stuff I've been touting since 2007.
Post it, it's fine, but here's the issue I have, right? Is that I had these two tracks where it was like, don't worry, the science is going to get there. And the science, indeed, whether you like it or not, has gone in a lot of different directions. The stuff that I would never advise anybody to do, the laser surgeries and stuff like that, the LASIK, where they can change the shape of the lens and all these different things, the injectables that that do produce good results, and many, many different types of natural healing things where people who, you know, a lot of blindness is now curable that was not curable every 10 years or so. There have been massive advances where, quite frankly.
So in my personal experience, yeah. It's been curable since 2006. And I'm posting a whole bunch of articles here, but even though that's true, that's actually not what I want to get at.
No problem. I'm just
with this topic.
No. We're going to there. I just want to address it fully because the thing is, due to my unique circumstance, I've gone and I've investigated these things one at a time with scientists, with specialist eye doctors, where. You know, like in Georgia, there's one.
Yeah, but you didn't listen to me. You listened to all the experts, but not to me.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And the real people that I personally know, including myself, that healed their eyes with this.
Okay. But again, as you well know, evaluation. All I say to you is, you know what? If you've got a way to do this, lay it out. I'll do it. All right? I'll do it.
You know, I can't.
But you got.
I can't afford. To send every single thing to everybody, you know, the world, right? But I can tell you what to do, and I have some of it in stock, but I'm not at a position financially to be able to, you know,
I'll tell you this. I have somebody that I know that would directly fund this. Get it done.
Just start with those reports. Go to my site. Yeah. I know for a fact I've been telling you about this for years.
But so, I'm just saying.
That's part of our prison, right?
But I literally would. No.
And the doctors and I'm, science right. and everyone else to tell you, right?
But I'm trying to pass.
This isn't a you thing, Chuck. Yeah. This is an everybody thing.
But I'm trying to pass this.
That most of my life.
But please understand, I'm trying to pass this along to you. If you're telling me it's something that could get rolling so that you would need to be reimbursed like a few hundred dollars, something like that, the kind of money that I can't
afford. I can send you a package tomorrow. And you would have to do it and read the links. Read the information about it on my site and decide if that's something you want to try. Read the testimonials on my site. How many people talked about healing their eyes?
Sure.
Multiple, not just one.
Okay, but
not just me. But multiple.
But just try and understand something. This isn't a matter of me being caught in a prison. I have done natural healing stuff. I have done big pharma stuff.
Chuck, and it's nothing to be defensive about. I live in prison still too, right? These are my reliance on prisons that didn't work out for me, right? Was a prison. And my reliance on waiting for the doctor to tell me the truth was a prison. My reliance on their drugs and their experts and the best surgeons and appointment after appointment.
So question.
No answer, no treatment was a prison.
So question.
My self-hate.
So question.
And my fear of my scars being seen in public was a prison. My fear of love and fear of intimacy was a prison.
Yeah, the only reason why you're hearing defensiveness is because I think you're failing to understand something, and I just want you to hear this part out, and then I promise.
You believe you can't heal.
No. It's not that I don't believe that.
I don't want to argue with you about that. I know you can if you want to.
But that's, okay. I'm going to tell you that that's not the problem. You're wasting energy on that. That's not the problem, because if that was the problem, let me just ask you a question.
So have you have a problem that can't be healed?
No,
right?
I'm not saying
is that.
No. See, like I said, you're not hearing me out. Just hear this one part out, and then I want to drop this because I want to continue into this other part of it, but because this is not useful to the majority of people that you need to reach with what it is you're about to go into. This is not useful to them. Here's the thing. Over the course of 40 years, I have willfully participated in, thrown myself into, risked, okay, put money into when it was possible, okay, but also offered myself up as a subject and everything else. I've had people poke at me, prod at me, and that is from the standard scientific world. That is, yes, indeed, I haven't discussed it at length because I don't want to make anybody look bad who had a good-hearted effort that was put in. But if you think you're the only natural healer who has been successful with 100 other things, and I mean people that I don't like to make this statement publicly because it's a legal problem and everything, but let's just say I'm fully under the belief that these are people that have cured cancer. These are people that have cured things that were incurable, spinal injuries. These are people that got people out of wheelchairs, okay?
Just like
these
myself,
are,
Chuck. You're
yes,
talking about me here.
I am.
For some reason, you refuse to see.
No, I'm not refusing at all. What I'm saying is that people
have who... Have you read the testimonials and how many people got out of a wheelchair because of me?
I don't know how many, but I know there are people that have.
And here's the thing. It wasn't because of me. It was because of them. Because
right.
they did the work. And
right.
they were willing to leave their beliefs, their prison beliefs behind and try something new, just like with myself.
But I have. I'm just saying I have done this in the past and I will do this with you. Honestly, I will throw, look, you tell me what it is that I gotta do. Give me the directions, give me the tools, and we'll make this happen. And I will do exactly as you say, but I only caution that
I challenged you before to do what I say just to prove me wrong, and you don't.
Well, outside of changing the cigarettes, I've actually done a bunch of things that you've said to do, and they have been successful.
Okay.
So, you know, I've gotten skin issues to clear up. You were actually able to, only you and the gentleman, Bear Vasquez, that passed away, created any sort of pain cream that ever had a positive result, really, for me. I've seen other people get plenty of positive results, and I've got, you know, that's a whole other issue with neurological damage and stuff like that. You actually
but
have
I,
stuff
I
that
overcame
works.
I overcame that. So here's,
yes.
here's my question.
Sure.
For people that want to overcome those things, why don't they do what... See, it's one thing to hear somebody talk about it online, but somebody who actually lived it and overcame it.
Oh yeah.
Why are people so adverse to hearing the truth that we do have the power to heal ourselves?
Well, but here's the first thing that I actually surrender to that I don't think you're recognizing I'm surrendering. I am fully aware that I don't have all of the knowledge or the answers. I am fully aware that there are a great many things that I am truly an idiot at, okay, as far as healing goes, even though I've healed people myself and helped people that were in dire straits, dire situations. I've assisted people to get out of circumstances that they thought they were absolutely doomed to. I've done it, and I've also seen others do it much better than me, okay? I have helped people with psychological issues that they felt they could never overcome. I've helped people out of grieving statuses that they were in, that they seem to be stuck in, even though they paid psychiatrists, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars in addition to what it is they could convince a company to cover and everything else. I've assisted people to do things they weren't supposed to be able to do. In fact, the fact that I still have any eyesight at all beats most of the experts that dealt with me in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, okay, who were stating that there was no way that I was going to have vision at the age of 7. There was no way I was going to have vision at the age of 10, then at 13, then at 18. Then in my 20s, when you go through that change around the time that your brain matures, that should have been the end of the line for any vision for me whatsoever. Guess what? I can't see much, but I can still see. And I beat the negatives on these. And I've done that more than once. Matter of fact, I was also told at one point that I had ALS. Okay? People don't recognize what I'm cutting down there. It's Lou Gehrig's disease. It's the kind of thing where basically after a while your muscles don't respond and eventually you suffocate because you don't even have the muscular reaction to make your lungs work, right? And I was supposed to die in a wheelchair pretty much. I was told by a doctor that it might be advisable, considering that I had small children, that I make arrangements about what's going to happen there and everything else, because death sentence, here you go. I said no. So understand, I'm not somebody who's trapped.
So then say no to the rest.
Oh, but I do. See, that's my point. But the thing is, I'm just trying to point out, this is not an easy fix. This is not something that's going to be done. It's going to have to be just the right thing, is my point. It's going to have to be just, and I will go with whatever. And I'm telling you, I've done stuff, you know, as advised by...
Okay, so you're not in a belief prison, but even though I brought up Fecoidin to you multiple times in the last several years, you didn't look at it because why?
Because
you were already convinced, you already talked to all the experts, and you already read every single research report ever written, and you were convinced that there was nothing to look at, and I was just giving you hype.
No. That's not accurate at all.
Okay, so honestly, after all these years, why haven't you looked at it?
I do.
Like, let's get real. Right?
No, okay, totally.
Let's
yeah.
get real.
You want me to answer? I'll answer. No problem. The thing is that I don't know. I know that I looked at some of that stuff, and I don't recall having a lot of it to look at. But I went down other paths and made other attempts, and I had more immediate, health issues that, quite frankly, although my eyesight is something I would love to be able to address, I was more concerned with other health issues that were, more immediate, they were just more emergent. They were things that needed to be dealt with first. And, recently I've had, stomach issues, which I'm tackling. And I've had a few other things. The headaches are pretty much, I've grown accustomed to them being there to some degree. They're also a fine indicator of when other things are going wrong, that, you know, they compound themselves like compound interest. You know, for instance, when I did need a switch in the prescription on my glasses, that was absolutely necessary. I was trapped in a 20-hour cycle a day of migraine headache, okay? And it was the only solution I could come up with, is that I needed to change the prescription. As soon as that was done, we're now down to, you know, a couple times a week of migraine headache, which is pretty much what I've lived with my whole life. So I had to at least bring that back under control. I had to tackle the PTSD issue. That would have killed me by now, had I not. It was destroying me. So the things that were going to snuff me out became a priority above attempting to restore my eyesight, which is a nice thought, but I have not had a great deal of success, no matter what approach I've taken, who I have attempted to collaborate with or take advice from or get medicine from or everything else. It just has not been something where I've achieved a great deal outside of the fact that I've kept some eyesight.
I remember sending you some stuff in 2019, and you said it did help you, but you didn't continue.
Yeah, it did for a bit, and...
And then you ran out, and you didn't continue.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And as I said, my initial answer was, I don't know.
Like, let's get real, and here's the prison. And Chuck, I agree and disagree with everything you've said, and one thing I want to point out is what you said, that you don't have all the answers. Again, I agree and disagree. So here's the prison.
Okay.
We're looking outside of ourselves, and we're getting distracted from everything else and realizing that really the answers are within. And I know inside you know that there are certain changes that have to be made. You also know that there are certain things that contribute to eye damage that you still choose to do daily, right? Like sit in front of a computer and, you know, so there's, I'm suggesting that, first of all, I think I'm going to read to you a chapter of a book every day for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or I could take pictures of it and send it to you. But what I'm suggesting to you is all of those other distractions and other priorities. If your eyes are a priority, you're talking to somebody who healed her eyes and several others already.
Mm.
Okay. So, and I know we've already, so I'm just leaving that there because it's not my job to chase anyone down and continue to give them thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't be that person to everyone. People who want to heal, they know what I've done and they're ready to make those changes and they come to me. And again, it's not me doing the healing. All I'm doing is sharing experiences and helping people remember how powerful they are. And I'm going to pose this question again.
Mm.
When I was homeless and saying, I'm never going to make it, and I have all these health issues, and I can't take care of myself because I can't juice, and I can't grow my garden, and my fresh food, and I have no money, and all of these reasons I can't make it, and I'll never heal myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I'm sitting here today completely healed without the supplements, without the juicing, without the income, without the support, right? So there's something more, and that's what I wanted this discussion to be, life in prison, because what is it that can, you can watch success stories of people all the time that overcome things. My doctor said I was never going to walk again. I was going to die in 6 months, 25 years ago, okay? Why is that not true? And why is it true for some? And why can some people overcome some things and other people think they can't? And that's what it is, because what if we are a computer and we are programming our brain with every word we speak, think, hear, witness? What if? And you know what, Chuck? It got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to prove this wrong and I'm just going to try it and see. And you know what? It ain't wrong. We are a computer, and the reason we have these little things are to get us to realize our power and stop looking outside ourselves. Stop looking at the experts. Stop. Go back to our center, our self, our passion, our heart, our purpose, whatever that is. It's not all the same for everyone, but I'll tell you what. Our purpose is not to accept the established beliefs that have got us to the point where we have to do radio shows complaining about shit all the time, right? Like what? I did for 10 years. So I, you know what I'm saying? Our purpose, whatever it is on your path and on your specific journey, is to overcome all that.
Mm-hmm. And my personal beliefs are exactly this. As I said, I've beaten things you're not supposed to beat. I've survived things you're not supposed to survive. I've gotten better when they said you can't. I've done that too.
All the evidence you need to know that you can overcome anything, right?
Sure.
You have factual, hard data that, like, talk about scientific evidence, right? Or proof. You already have that established in your life. And you know what? I know anyone listening can look back and say the same thing, right? So why do you need more to have faith in yourself, in your abilities for the next challenge? That's what, you know, people want, like, life to be all rainbows and unicorns, and it's not. It's a series of challenges, aka school. Mm-hmm. Okay? You didn't graduate from sixth grade or ninth grade or 12th grade or college without taking tests.
Right.
Well,
and all of these obstacles, that's all they are. And so,
when dealing with the institutions that are presented by society, when dealing with the institutions that that prescribe many things, okay, I've been able to go outside of that, despite the fact that some of the best people in those institutions that were available, allegedly the best people, right, who were supposed to be among the most learned, you know, had made statements. I mean, forget about my eyes. Forget about the fact that, you know, I broke my back and my neck, and I still walk upright. I got pain, but I walk upright. Okay. Despite all of that, here's an interesting thing. At a certain point, it was also, allegedly ordained that I was one of these kids, in fact, that was going to be what? Just be institutionalized. It wasn't a matter of, was I going to end up under lock and key somewhere if something wasn't done? You know, it wasn't the ABC after school special. If we can get you away from the gangs and drugs, boy, you might be able to be okay. We can get you to live a normal existence. It wasn't like that. It was people looking at me going, it's not a matter of, you know, if, it's a matter of which prison is he going to be in? What is going to be the,
exactly,
the repeated offense? What is the pattern that he will absolutely not break? This is somebody that's going to be instituted. And by the way, wasn't just about prison and criminal stuff. Could have been a psych ward, which, you know, I went to those as a kid.
And in some way, these prisons are actually easier because we don't have to make our own decisions, right?
Well,
we don't have to worry about,
and that's the,
what we're going to eat today, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, life is, like, stable,
and
right?
And I will grant this much. Somebody that you and I used to both know thought it was, you know, such a profound learning experience to wind up in, you know, being one of the incarcerated in one of these institutions. to it, I must agree, but also sharply disagree. Okay, it's not necessarily the best way to go, to put yourself in an additional prison, because everybody you know, no matter what, is subject to various institutions, no matter what level of awareness they have. They are part of a bureaucratic formula, whether it's that they accepted the social security number. And of course, you have no choice about that because somebody reports on you the moment that, you know, you gasp your first breath of air. Your mother reports that you're alive, you know, to the state. But whether it's that or it is the other institutions that attempt to institutionalize you, and that could be the public school system, that could be the, you know, the trade that you go into where you trade your individuality and a great deal of your power in order to get specialized knowledge, right? Where you go to a trade school. Indeed, these things are functional on one level, but on the other hand, they also become the cuffs, the bars. They become the cement walls and the fences because they become great many limitations to the individual.
Even owning a home, Chuck. Or even having a homestead, right?
Oh, well, where you become a tenant on a piece of land where they tell you you own something, but take a look at what your actual legal, you know, status is. You're a resident of that land. You're a tenant of that land. You're kind of attached to it, and really you're not, but your fiction is. Right?
But technically I'm just trying to point out how even this heaven on earth I built is also a prison, right?
Well, so, right.
You know, hey, Christy, Chuck, everybody, let's go to you know, Dallas or wherever, right? Well, mm-hmm. I can't do that because I have 50 animals to feed.
Oh, I know. So, I would love to have you. Yeah,
can be considered a prison in a sense.
Listen, I would love, because we're trying to put together that trip, right? And you know, I haven't pushed on you to go because I recognize that you still got time
possible
to serve.
Because I built a prison,
right? But the thing is,
I mean, I accept that I live in prison, so I'm just going to make it fun for me.
But if you built your prison out of things, as you said, that makes sense, that are part of your, you know, look, in other words, as long as you're breathing, you're imprisoned. The prison planet idea, which you brought up and you said, look, I begrudgingly, and by the way, I'm not sure if it's Alex Jones or the Watson brothers who came up with that. Don't care. Point is that
it's the one thing they said that was true, though.
The idea is extremely valid. You're here. Guess what? You really do have a serial number somewhere because you are an inmate.
Right. And look, Chuck, when I, like, in my homeless days and all the days where I'm like, oh, I'll never make it through this. And I resented the fact that I lived. I was very aware, you know, of the prison planet and all of the chains that they expect and mm-hmm. really angry and resentful about it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at a certain point, I had to, okay, well, I'm here for a reason, so let's find out what that is. And then anything I could do to step out of or not be part of or support that system, you know, that just kind of became my mission.
Mm-hmm.
So, but granted, I can't escape the prison planet that we're in. None of us can, right? While we're here and talking about it and doing shows and
while we're
passing
still
all these crazy ideas around,
while we're still
we're
having the 3D
so
experience,
my suggestion is to build your cell the way you want it, and then let's see how powerful we really are, and if we can actually look, Chuck. It wasn't that long ago where I couldn't walk and talk and was homeless with no income. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now I'm living the life of my dreams. How did that happen? So how? I'll tell you, because I believed in possibilities. And while factually and evidentially it was easier to say, well, it's always been this way, so it's always going to be that way. And then that's when I played that game with myself to see and to prove it wrong. And here I am today. So
right.
I really just want to stress the fact that my whole point of bringing up the life in prison is for us to think in our own personal time, where are we standing in our own way? Where are we holding ourselves back? What if there's something I've tried 50 times, there still might be 51? Or, you know what I mean? Like, why do we believe the things that we do? And yeah, it's easy to say, I'm not allowed to have money, or I'm not allowed to have love, or I'm not allowed to be healthy, or I'm not, you know, like all of these things.
Right.
But just those words inside your head, being conscious of, actually does change things. Like, I really think the key is, a key is that our heart is the programmer, and our heart gets the information from, I don't know, what do you want to call it, your soul or your higher self or spirit or direct consciousness or whatever anybody's word is, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the thing that's connected. And then our brain, and that's why they spend so much time trying to distract us. So we have to get those two in alignment, right? Mm-hmm. And we can, I swear, Chuck, I would not tell you that you could heal yourself if I did not fully 100% believe it. And I also want to say this. I don't say that to everybody, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't, and even though I believe all things are possible, I do know the power of choice and belief. And I know that you have it in you, or I would not ever try to give you false hope. So I just, let's be mindful, more mindful of the things that we're thinking, the things that we're saying, the things that we're believing, the things that we're consuming, the things that we're listening to or watching or whatever, or falling for. Let's just be mindful of it. We don't have to own it. We do have the power to deny anything and change anything. And instant manifestation is a thing. Although I believe slow and steady wins the race, and that you have to make these little things habits, right? Mm-hmm. So if you, Chuck, can pick one mantra just to say each day, just for fun, or just so you can get mad at me and tell me what an idiot I am or something. Just say something like, hang on. I'm trying to think of a song, because for me, when I think of things that are pertinent for me, I try to think of like a, okay, let me see what I could do for you.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break
My
here.
My eyes are fully restored. I am living pain-free and completely healed, or something like that. And literally, there's something to be said about the emotion, and again, that comes from the heart, okay? Which, that's what connects to all things, okay? So really believe it and feel like, give thanks for already having it. And I don't care who you think. Thank your dog. Thank your cup of coffee. Thank your cigarette. Okay? Mm-hmm. Give thanks and feel. What would it be like if you woke up tomorrow and your vision was fully restored? What would you do? What would it feel like? Where would you go? Who would you write a letter to? Or all these things that, you know, you didn't do because you couldn't see well enough. What would be the first thing that you would do? And Chuck, I'm not trying to sound like a fanatic, even though I realize I have to sound like one right now, but it's only because I've seen the power in just being conscious and mindful of my negative thoughts and trying to get at the root. And obviously the root of many was, well, I was born this way, or it's always been this way, right? But if I had the power to change that, so do you.
Well, that's the thing. It wouldn't be about restoring my vision. It would be a brand. I have no clue what it is I would do first. I'll tell you the truth, because I've never had it. I've never had vision up to that point. And frankly, I know at some point in my life I wasn't in pain every single day, but.
Yeah, what would it be like to wake up and the pain,
I don't recall
waking
it.
Up in pain every day was just like a bad dream.
Well, I don't.
What would that be like, yeah. Chuck? What would the first thing that you do be? Would you jump up and down? Would you climb a tree? Would you go windsurfing?
Yeah,
would you jump out of a plane?
I see,
would you,
because
play baseball? What would you do?
Because I'm vaguely aware that there was a time when that wasn't the truth, that one of the first things I became aware of every single day was my pain. I know that there was a time in my life that was like that, but I don't recall when it was, really. And as far as my vision, there is no possibility of recall in this lifetime, because I was born this way. And every single day, my eyes are a bit different. So
change that.
To my mind, I would have to.
I've used that for 50 years, right?
I would have to say that
the change
would have to be that this new, as I have a new experience with my eyesight every single day, that the new experience would have to be, well, now I have the level of sight that everyone else does.
Always been this way, but tomorrow is a new day.
Mm.
Right?
Well,
so, yeah. So for 50 years you couldn't see, but on the 51st year you could. What would that be like?
Not sure, but we're going to take a little break here and collect our thoughts and go further with this discussion. Again, this is about life in prison, but not necessarily the gray walls and steel bars. Although that could be part of it, but
sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's not. And tell you the truth, maybe it's easier to deal with walls and bars than the stuff that's in your mind and your heart. The Ocelli Effect with Christy Aphrodite will continue after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or sometimes Tonight, but it's about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'll tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I want to be a werewolf. You gotta have faith in this country. You gotta have faith in this, in the elected official. And right now, that's the reason I'm here. Because God has brought his warrior, and I'm that warrior that y'all been looking for a long time. And I can promise you, as my offensive lineman told me, Herschel, follow me, I'll take you to the promised land. And I'm telling y'all right now, you vote for me, I'm going to help us all get to the promised land. God bless you, guys. Thank you, God.
Cain killed Abel. You know, and and that's a problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, they talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way? But yet they want to just continue to talk about taking away your constitutional rights. And I think there's more things we need to look into. This has been happening for years, and the way we stop it, by putting money into the mental health field, by putting money into other departments rather than departments that want to take away your rights.
Yeah, you support new gun laws and the way
that this country should be. What I like to do is see it and everything and stuff. I like to see it being everything.
Now, these nonsensical answers are part of a broader pattern from Walker, who easily won the Republican Senate nomination with Donald Trump's back.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claims, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
What would I do? Revelation through conversation. In a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. But we all agreed to put Ocelli.com on and listen to the Ocelli Effect. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
ChuckoChili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Benjamin Fulford said that an Asian secret society was going to dispatch ninjas to take down the Illuminati?
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, in the cartoon.
Yeah, did that ever work out too good?
No.
It didn't, did it?
Didn't work.
But here on Ocelli.com radio network, things work out a bit better, don't they?
Much better.
Much better.
It's clear in understanding about the programs. The programs are much clearer. Getting live people into it. They really have a good conversation going.
Much better.
Much better scene.
I say forget Benjamin Fulford and his ninjas and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
I agree. It's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
Ocelli.com. Get ready for the Ocelli effect.
That could be somebody else's perception, and then maybe reflect, huh, if they think that, you know, what am I missing? Like, so, yeah, I actually hurt this person's feelings, and he didn't have the balls, really, to tell me until many years later, but I'm glad. I wish he'd have told me sooner, because it got me to really reflect on that self-hate mind prison that I was in. So, and there's many, right? What's our addiction? Like, we might know that something is sucking our soul, but we need that fix anyways, whatever it is, you know, gambling, shopping, QVC. Like, I've actually seen that destroy lives, right? Mm. So we all have that. So is it in our belief of a better world, or just succumbing and accepting a shitty world? And that's just what I'm suggesting for everyone. Whatever you believe your limitation is, just play a little game with yourself and see what it would feel like if it was everything you ever dreamed of, or every, you know, pain. Like, there was a day, Chuck, I truly believed that I would never wake up a day in my life without pain. Yet here I am today. And even trying to remember and think about, like, some of those past things. Like, I literally won't remember them unless somebody brings them up. And it's like, oh, yeah, that. And it's, I truly know. I don't just believe. I know in my heart, in my existence, in my 50 years, that we can turn that around with or without the right supplements, with or without the right doctor, with or without the right juicer, with or without the right partner or family or whatever. But I also know that I just have to say it's not always easy. In fact, it never is.
Never is.
Just saying. But it is totally worth it, and it will require, you know, a sense of dedication to yourself and finding out what that spark is and why you are here. And if you don't know, please find out, because I truly believe that we can experience peace and freedom on earth, right? We can be in the world and not of it. And I'm not saying deny reality or deny, you know, but accept that we're in a class and we're in our different grade levels and we have our different crosses to bear, so to speak, or lessons to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And if we focus on that our previously painful existence here can be even more than we ever imagined possible. So I just want to encourage you all to believe in the possible. I'm not saying I know all the answers to everybody's situation, but I do believe that you know the answers to your situation. So all the hardest part is trusting that still small voice within, trusting that instinct, just like the animals do. You know, they don't need a class to learn how to turn on their self-healing mechanisms, or how to be a mother, or how to hunt to feed their children, mm-hmm. right? Or themselves. It's just instinctual. And I believe that we have that same instinct in us, and that it's our duty, and there's nothing more worthy than tapping into that. So,
well, embracing the natural design is something, though, that unfortunately the creatures that we are, right, as whatever it is you want to call us, you know, in this this human shell, right? unfortunately, we have to willfully embrace that, as opposed to willfully accepting being distanced from it, by various things. And that sounds a little convoluted, but what I mean is that I see what you're saying. And to me, what you're saying is we have all of this within us, just like the animals do. It's just that over time and, you know, the way things are civilized, etc., you get distanced from it. You know, you're yes. not collecting. Most people that we know are not collecting their own food from a source other than, you know, the Kroger, the Walmart, the whatever.
Right. And that was me. Like, people think that I was always some live off the land hippie chick, know how to do so. No. I knew how to do nothing until I made it a choice. And even the things that I have done, I'm sure I've said this before, I still have no clue what I'm doing, but what I am doing is listening to that voice within and moving forward and trusting that. And I have much less resistance trusting that today than I used to. I used to not believe myself. I used to not believe, you know, reality. I was stuck in the distractions and the fear trap and the mind prison, the self-hate, everything that's promoted within the system. And today I can say that I'm not. So all that really means, again, is that it's possible for anyone. And I just want to say, it's not like just one decision or one day. It's a series of steps, and baby steps are the best, by the way, one thing at a time, because you create these things in habits, right? So whatever it is, if you want to be more self-sufficient, you don't just wake up one day, throw everything out, and expect to make all your own, you know, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, aftershave, you know, it doesn't work.
No,
like
you're not going to go from microwave TV dinners, okay, to actually eating food in a day.
Like, it's a process.
Yeah. Well,
just, like, be gentle with yourself and just see ahead. Like, just start owning the person, whoever it is, you know, that you want to be, and don't accept anything less.
Well, and there was a couple of things here where I tried to echo what you just stated, even ahead of when you said it, which is, you know, when I talked about incrementally revealing things over the course of the years doing the show, which, by the way, we might have lost a couple of minutes because I reset the servers and everything for everybody who was complaining that the broadcast was interrupted, and apparently that's been fixed, but I had to do a hard fix, which interrupted and knocked everybody off the stream. Everybody disappeared off the stream and couldn't hear us there for a couple of minutes. But I assure you the recording will contain everything that it could. So when it comes out as a podcast, you know, you can hear the whole thing. Anyways, we're going to go a few minutes over, but not too far, because honestly, I usually have one good meal, one big meal a day, and I haven't done that today yet. So I gotta do that, and I gotta take care of myself. But, so I'm not gonna go too long, and I know you have a lot to do. So I'm not gonna try and take up too much of your time, but we're gonna end appropriately, you know, a few minutes from now, but it won't end at exactly 10 after as I was planning.
Well, we did start late, and we had an ultra long break.
Right. So, so we're gonna go a little long, okay? Just not too far, cause like I said, I know you got stuff to do, and even during the break, you had an interesting event with cats and stuff, so, you know, I'm not trying to call you out or anything or reveal secrets, but it was kind of interesting.
Cats are great for many things, but seed saving is not one of them. And I just, Chuck, this is like the fifth time just this week. And I had this other tray with categories of different seeds, but now it's just one tray. And then this one, oh, I'm going to upload the photo. It's hilarious because she was so proud that she got to climb all the way up the Bombay chest, the chicken wire little fence that I put around the plants trying to protect him in the window that I could literally see right here in front of me. And I put the screen with thousands of seeds on top of that.
Right.
And she was so proud of her ability. See, I'm sure the other cats told her that she'll never be able to make it all the way up there. Mm-hmm. And she had to prove him wrong because she believed in the possible. And she got up there and she tore it down and she was so proud of it. She was laying on it, just like so happy and content. Like, look what I did.
And listen, I love my mini mutts who, you know, Buster's a little bigger than an average cat, but some of them are not. And, they are the mighty little mini mutts over here. And I'll tell you something. They will interfere with your plans. Just saying, I love them to death, but they will do stuff, man.
Right, and let me bring up how amazing they are, though. Yeah. And so, okay, Butters, as some of you may know, had both of his hips, like, extremely dislocated. Vets said best case scenario is he loses both of his legs, but, you know, he should probably die, right? Mm. This dude... And yeah, I'm a medicine maker or whatever, and I believe in possibilities, like overcoming things like that, and took this guy home, and he regrew a new joint, and climbs trees, and jumps, and fights, and fucks, like all the other cats do. So, if these little 9-pound you know, cute little fluff balls are capable of healing themselves, what are we capable of?
Right. Well, again, they do have that advantage, though, of not having the same massive distractions placed on them by their society. They're only concerned with their little, you know, pride. If they're cats, or their little pack, if they're dogs, right? That is the whole of their society. And you know what's interesting about that is I think it's healthier if that's what you have to contend with, you know? But meanwhile, back to the prison discussion. Because, you know, they're less aware. And that's an interesting point. They're less aware.
Well, what he was less aware. He allegedly was not aware that the vets say he should die.
Yeah.
He was not aware that any other animal person would have, you know, euthanized him that day to put him out of his misery.
Right.
He was unaware that the vet said he'll never walk again and there's nothing we can even do surgically. You know? And I think that's another good lesson into how, look everywhere in nature. Everything out there is a self-healing machine.
Right.
If we are also part of nature, then what are we missing?
Well, see, that's an interesting point, too. And again, the experts, whether they're wearing white coats or they have a doctorate on their wall or whatever else, they still don't know everything. Cause again, even with my little mighty mutts, as I reported to you some weeks back now, I don't remember how long ago this was now, but some months back, I mean, we took these puppies, which, you know, were apparently they had the parvo and they were like, look, you know, 75% chance they don't make it. None of them. And that's, you know, three little puppies and, mama dog's too old to get the parvo bad and have it kill her. But, the three little pups, you know, and, we kept them all going. Now it did take a little bit of doing. Not everything happens in the automatic sense always, but yeah, they weren't aware that the odds were against them, were they?
Right.
They weren't aware.
I can answer my own question. What are we missing?
Mm.
Nothing. Nothing. But belief in ourselves and our own natural abilities.
So there you have it. And again, look, we didn't mention this too often. I want to touch on something before we're done tonight, though, if you don't mind, because we are at that point where, yeah, we're going to go a little over an hour, regardless that we started late and we had a long break and this and that. I got some cream from you recently, right?
All right.
And I've been having these troubles in recent times with healing various, like, little minor skin wounds and stuff. And I had people starting to talk to me about, you know, it sounds like you're one of these diabetics that doesn't heal now. I've never had that trouble before, and I don't accept it. Okay, just telling you. So, at the moment, I do not accept this. I'm always willing to accept new evidence as it emerges, but I don't accept the diabetic problem. But I was having a problem healing. Tell you something. I don't know which one of these two things you might want to talk about a little bit, but two things topically have done a great deal of assistance in helping me to heal and repair on my limbs now.
Tell me more.
Well, I've been using it limited. You have the one jar, which is Secret Garden, and the other one is Smart Bomb, I think it says on it.
Okay. Which, all right.
Now you
well,
wrote.
I want to hear about the Secret Garden stash because that's pretty bomb diggity.
Yeah, it definitely is, and you don't need a lot of it. And I put it first only on the affected areas that had, you know, topical skin wounds and things that were not healing. And I'm talking about, it didn't matter if it was a bug bite or I scraped myself or whatever. It seemed like nothing was healing. And they were constantly just kind of like expanding and oozing and this and that. And I'd put, various things on it. Okay. And it didn't do me any good. Also, this stuff smells nice. I like the smell of it. It's got a little bit of a menthol smell to it, but it's also got a combination of other things together, which I'm not entirely aware of the ingredients. Don't
well, there's
care,
no
though.
Menthol in it.
It well, it gives me that sense.
There is in the Smart Balm, but not in the Secret Garden.
Well, I'm, all right. Well, I'm using both, so I might mix them up here.
Okay.
But either way, the mentholated one is interesting. But they both smell good. They both smell great, actually, and they're nice. But other unexpected things they were helpful with as well. Because of the injuries to my back and my neck, I often have pains for no reason, I think, in various muscles in my limbs, okay? Described by doctors as different neuropathies and this and that. And
right.
Sorry, son, you're just stuck with it.
Right.
Okay, so, and that is partially how I became hooked on the painkillers some years back and all that. But the thing is that this stuff also allowed muscles to relax underneath, and gave me, it took away the burning. There's like a burning that happens in the, and the funny thing about the burning is that it's in muscles that I could literally stick myself in the leg, or it's mainly my legs. I could literally stick myself in the leg with a knife or a screwdriver, which I've done accidentally, and actually one time even put part of a drill bit into my leg. On a power drill, okay?
That sounds exciting, Chuck.
Yeah, didn't feel it. Understand. These were accidental. I didn't do these things intentionally.
He said drill her, not you.
Yeah, I know. I know. And when you're using power tools, I mean, you know, first you got to get her permission. But, I mean, I'm just saying. The thing is, I mean, but I did accidentally. I put a drill bit into my, and I didn't know it. Because there's parts of that there's no feeling in a normal way, and yet I get burning sensations and pains that shoot up and down the muscles that I can't feel, the skin right. that I can't feel. So I started using this stuff, and again, it started to relax that.
Nice.
The combination of the two, actually gave me back something, and I don't know why this happened. But I was just putting it on with good faith and just saying to myself, this is not only going to be good for my skin, but it's going to be good for everything. And gave me something I didn't expect, which was, I can actually, feel my knees again, which I could not for a while. I couldn't feel them. I would just kind of hear them cracking and stuff, which they do crack. I've got bone issues and this and that. Some damage to me, Christy. I'm just saying, okay? I'm not.
No, I got you, man. I've had
yeah, I know
over
you have.
A dozen surgeries. Yeah. I totally understand.
You know where I'm at. Of course, I avoided most of those surgeries, but suggested many times, this, that, third surgery. And my knees have given me problems ever since I was a kid. I've had the things where they blow up and they get the, you know, I had the fluid buildups on the knees, which are not, you know, from like the kind of thing that gives you a heart attack because you're old, but because you've torn up the cartilage and things like that.
I had 8 surgeries on my left knee.
Well, I used to have mine, you know, drained every so many months, like literally just stick a pin in it and let it drain. And they put a plastic drain in there at one point because I was building up. But anyways, after a while, I lost feeling in my knees and then would only feel these phantom pains. I can feel my knees again. So I don't know why that happened. I don't know what the ingredients are exactly.
It was magic, Chuck.
But kind of magical, kind of cool. And I wanted to point out that that's something that, you know, that recently happened. And it happened to be one of your concoctions, creations, mixtures that actually
so
two of them.
I didn't even really know what I just spirit said to send those because I just wanted to get something out quick because I had a house full for a really long time and just got so behind on everything. But I didn't know you had skin issues and you never told me about your knee. I just spirit told me what to send you.
Well, so. I did tell you about the skin issues. If you remember, I was telling you about it and you were like, well, how are you doing that? And I said, I don't know because it's different things. Like one time I burned myself with a cigarette. I know I tried to explain that to you, but it was,
I forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but I did not tell you about my knee. Well, why do, you know, look, I haven't gone through the entire litany of, you know, this is everything that hurts me. I feel like it's a waste of time because, I mean, you know, how many hours you got? you know.
That's great. That's really good to hear. And it makes sense because, the ingredients, of course, are anti-inflammatory, wound healing promoting, I think that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. I was wondering how things might or might not have been helping.
Yeah, and I may have some other things to report in a future show or two about some other things that you made, but I wanted to get to this because this has been a profound turnaround. And I was struggling with the healing on my, for a little bit, I was putting antibiotic cream on there. I was putting, all kinds of different things.
Were they open wounds, Chuck?
Well, some of them were, and some of them would scab up and almost look like they were going to clear, and then they would get hard and then go back to, like, it was just this back and forth. It just would not settle itself. And this is very unusual. Normally, my skin.
Oh, good. Well, so the Secret Garden Stash has helped that. Excellent.
Well, this is restoration because I've always had the kind of skin where, I mean, I've got some scars on me that people wouldn't even call scars because you got to literally like press down on me to feel where like if I showed you and I said, look, I was cut really bad with a hunting knife here, like in a fight. You wouldn't believe me, but if you put your fingers on me, you could feel where, you know, obviously some flesh was removed at some point, because my skin heals so well that I don't scar that bad. That's been typical for me, but in this past year, all of a sudden my skin was not, you know, giving me my reptilian, you know, blessing. Which is, cause one of my spirit animals has something to do with a reptile. But the point is that, it's one of the blessings that my skin is usually just self-healing, and excellent, even if the rest of my body is not working right. My skin takes care of itself nicely normally.
But you just needed a little My True Essence in your life.
I needed a little My True Essence to get this, to get my natural gift back. Because now my skin is starting to behave. It's not entirely there yet, but it's starting to behave like it should, which is all you can ask for. So I'm just saying that the two creams, and I use them both. Again, it's not like...
I'm glad you like the scent because I really wanted that to be not... Like, because some of my creams are... or oils are definitely more feminine, and while men will still use them, for the most part, they like the woodsier, but I wanted something that would be gentle and subtle and hopefully pleasing for all, but of course with the wide capabilities. And I hope you don't burn yourself, but if you do, or even a sunburn, man, like that'll take away your pain, everything instantly.
Well, on occasion, look, I'm a blind guy who smokes, so what'll happen is every once in a while, a head of a cigarette or something will land on my hand or whatever. It happens. Okay? I just saying, and I know I shouldn't smoke, and believe me, I got lectures on this for the past 2 weeks from, like, random people. But, look, point is that getting my skin back to normal is, it's actually on its way, and I'm really thankful for that, so... First, I wanted to say thanks, but also wanted to just point out that, of course, yes, a lot of the stuff I can attest to that either secondhand or now firsthand, in more than one instance, this isn't the first time. You also assisted me with a cleanse some years ago. You assisted me with some other stuff. Some of the pain stuff that you gave me was remarkable. Even those little weird rollerball things where, you know, you can apply it. Well, no, it makes it a lot easier to put it on your face if you're not trying to figure out how to get it in there and not get it in your eye or whatever. If you got the roller ball, it's boom, done. You know?
And then it's not on your finger and it doesn't hurt when you touch your pee-pee or you rub your eye.
Well, right. That's the other thing is touching. I mean, listen, mentholated things, you touch your genitals, okay, in the course of the day and you forget that you've got some of that on your hands. It's a problem. I used to try and use Icy
on. Some people are into that kind of stuff, but if you're not, don't touch your pee-pee.
Well, you know, some people dress up like babies too and poop in their diapers and they think that's exciting. Not me. But, you know, I'm just saying, it's one of those things, right? You know, just like we talked about, and nobody's gotten back to me on that. We were going to sell pictures of your feet. But anyways.
I got feet, man. But here's the thing. They're a lot less dirty these days because there's a lot less outdoor work. So.
Well, you know, that might be a different audience there. Anyway.
Dirty foot fetish.
Of course.
They're turning into clean, wartless feet now. Just kidding. Well, I don't have warts, but they are definitely Flintstone feet.
Well, look, you know, clean, hey, some guys like clean, some guys like dirty. What can I say?
And they're way too small for my size. I'm 6 feet tall, and they look like, I look like a fish.
you're probably creating a bunch of selling points. I just mention it because. But anyway, but back to it. The Secret Garden Stash and the Smart Bomb. Bomb spelled B-A-L-M. But either way.
So
yeah.
I want to hear about, are you taking the holy basil and have you experienced any improvement in any area?
Okay, that I had to put on hold for a little bit because I was having a stomach issue and I wanted to eliminate anything that was new, which meant put that aside temporarily. I've started taking that again and I want to report on that in the coming weeks.
Because what if that would help it?
Well, but no, but the thing was, it was just that the timing suggested to me pull anything out that is new that is causing a current issue. Okay. So I was just doing the logical thing that you and I have talked about many times, where it's like, look, if you know that this sort of thing started here, pull everything out. I'm not saying that any of that should have harmed me, but just to be certain, now I'm going to, you know, now I add things back in. And one of the things I added back in, of course, is that stuff. And I want to get into that too, but I want to give it time. Obviously it's helping me, rest, because I was having trouble sleeping again. And it did help me to take a little bit of control of my sleep cycle when I'm not trying to stay up all night dealing with audio files and stuff. But, you know, willfully, I choose when to sleep. That's helping me rest when I need to rest. Right now, there's other things that are probably going on from it, but I want to wait and make sure that I've got something to describe, okay? But for now, I want to talk about what I have steadily used all the way, which is the topical. And, also rub some on Mrs. O, cause she has, you know, restless leg and all that. and it helped her with that. So, you know, and I'm trying to use this as sparingly as possible because it's, again, very valuable. And the only other person that's ever created something that's even remotely like this, unfortunately, is the Double Rainbow guy who passed away, Bear Vasquez, and he used to have the, you know, the place out by Yosemite. Yeah, I'm still saddened by his death and all that. And if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, that'll probably come out on the archive. That'll be put out on BitChute shortly as, Ray, who is the curator, Ray from Down Under right now, who you guys know in the chat room as the Ford Freak, is the official curator of the BitChute channel and is, also assisting me with the master archive for Ocelli.com. So, just shout out to Ray. Of course, I can't pay anybody, but, you know, he is doing that work and may actually embrace a personal path that grows from the experience that he's having doing this stuff, and I'll let him report about that to you guys whenever it is he comes into chat, or maybe I'll have him come on the show one night, because he might actually, you know, take a little control of his life in a different way, and it's always good to do that, because after all, if we're all here on the prison planet, what did Christie say? We should decorate and make our cells, our prisons, to our liking, since, you know, we're going to be here a while. And you might as well make your stay as workable and fun as possible. And why not decorate? Everybody decorates their cell, even on death row, right? So, and we're all actually on death row anyway, because at some point we do get to leave this place. As for where you go after that, maybe we'll discuss that on another show. But Christie, I'd like to give you an opportunity to close it out. We've gone more than 2 hours, and despite a little technical glitch, I'm very sure most of what you had to say was heard, and more of it will be heard on the podcast. So a big thanks to everybody and, you know, for listening and all that. Going to take some of these links that you put in the chat room and add them to the show notes, which, by the way, when we do this live, there is a chat at Ocelli.com. I often forget to mention it. And there's a mirror of it at ChristieAphrodite.com, where, indeed, you can go and listen to Ocelli.com radio shows. Initially, that was set up so that the Christie Aphrodite show could be easily heard on ChristieAphrodite.com. Kind of makes sense, right? But Christie had other things that took priority, so she left the page there, thankfully. And so you got
which
a mirror.
Which has actually come in handy when your site's been...
When my site was hacked down. And down. Yeah. So thanks for that. And also the stuff I'm talking about that helped me out, which is unique because, quite honestly, there are a lot of people out there that are trying to sell you half, you know, half-assed things, to be honest. Even if their intentions are good, a lot of their stuff is half-assed. And Christie, you'll like this. Your stuff is whole-assed, okay? So
yeah,
no half-assed.
I worked very hard at it.
So the whole ass is in the Christie. Oh, sorry. Anyway, mytrueessence.net. Again, a ton of information, a ton of assistance for self-healing, and a ton of ideas, even if, and again, of course, we'd love it if you support Christie and buy her products, and we run her commercial here, all of that, but it's really about the general sharing of the healing, and there's tons of knowledge you could get there without buying a product, but... If you do.
Right, but if you care about real healing, right?
Yes.
I mean, not all herbs are the same, and that's, like, people can try, say, chasteberry, for example, mm-hmm. From Amazon, and then be convinced that chasteberry doesn't work, and then they try mine, and poof. It worked magically. So,
well, again, a
I
bunch.
I definitely take very serious what I do, and that's because of 35 years of medical torture, and I don't want others to go through the same. So I try to make healing as simple as possible.
Right.
Which I learned on my path of being sick most of my life, you know? That was how it was yesterday, but not today and not tomorrow.
Right. And, look, we didn't take any phone calls. I kind of forgot because I was dealing with other stuff. I don't know if anybody actually called in. The phone lines are empty now, so we're going to close out. But normally somebody would call in, at least a few people. I didn't get any tonight, but might have been I was distracted and I missed calls. If I did leave you on hold and you hung up, my apologies. But you know, we were covering an important issue here, and I think it's a core issue that you need to consider, is that indeed, I hate to give any sort of recognition to this, but you know, when somebody coins an appropriate phrase, they do, and whether it was the Watsons or it was AJ himself, the idea of the prison planet, you know, and, or whether it was handed to him by a script, you know, for his handlers, because he's actually an, okay, anyway, doesn't matter. The phrase is accurate. The concept is correct. And, indeed we are living on a prison planet in this current experience. So.
But we can make it beautiful. And I am 100% confident about this. And Chuck, I'm not selling anything, right? I'm not selling, hey, come to my class and I'll teach you how to make your magical kingdom. I have never once in my life talked about or something I didn't completely believe in, right?
Right.
And again, back in the day, like there's even videos, you know, me questioning all of that and proving it wrong based on my current and prior experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because I was believing the wrong teachers, and so it was part of my path to, you know, go through a few and then find ultimately I was right all along. And talk about getting hit with a Mack truck. Like, that was the most bullshit thing ever, right? I dedicated my life to finding my teacher and my mentor and my, and all the answers, and somebody was gonna just magically bestow me with this knowledge, and that's not how it happened. And it's like, wait, shit, it's me I have to rely on? It was so much easier to rely on everyone else and blame everyone else and not, yeah, so, like, when you find out that you were right all along, the world changes. And, right. And it's definitely the most difficult of all realizations, because you're like, dude, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of, you know, giving my power away to all these other experts.
Mm-hmm.
And all those times I went against my intuition, or I felt uneasy but couldn't put my finger on it. Like, this was why. Yes. Look, everybody, anyone listening, you were right all along. Trust yourself. Yes, please. The key to freedom and building your beautiful prison heaven on earth.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, people place a high value often on learning, and they should if you're actually learning. But there is a great deal of value in unlearning and relearning as well sometimes, and it is about finding the right path, which, again, your experiences will vary. Christy's path is not necessarily yours. My path is not necessarily yours. But there may be some commonalities, and we can all walk to a place where at least we're in a comfortable cell of our own making, as opposed to allowing others to dictate it to us. Anyway.
Right. Build your own prison. Bam.
There you go. And mind control yourself, right?
That's right.
Instead of letting somebody else do it. Anyway, we're all done for tonight. That's the end of Tuesday. So no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, first of all, I want to thank you, and especially thank Christy Aphrodite for doing this with me, as we do nearly every Tuesday when, you know, things don't interfere. Bottom line is, you indeed are all the effect, and I'm merely Ocelli. Have a good night.